As many of you may know, my name is Nate Horner, and I'm a senior at Hume Fogg High School. I was baptized at West End in October 1995 and have been going here my entire life. I've been through play school, confirmation, and most recently, the youth group. Needless to say, I spent quite a bit of time here at church. However, looking back at my time in the youth group, I can see many changes in myself and the others around me through the many different activities we have participated in together. We've been through a lot, and I'm very proud to call these peers my friends. One challenge that we've had to face is understanding what a neighbor truly is to us and who we consider to be our neighbors. West End has done a remarkable job of providing us with the opportunities to face this challenge, mostly through mission trips and service work. From the Nashville Food Project, where we continue to serve a meal to low-income locals the first Sunday of every month, to Arkansas, where we learned about the Global Village, to Chicago, where we worked with inner-city school kids, tutoring them in reading and writing, to rural Alabama, where our efforts with Upper Sand Mountain Parish allowed us to provide relief to thousands of tornado victims, to Nashville itself, where we were able to build relationships with inner-city children through helping at summer camps and engage in numerous activities with the homeless. All of these experiences have been very distinctive, yet through all of them, we've been able to interact with countless number of people, as well as grow closer to one another. I have many friends through my school, extracurriculars, and sports teams, yet I can say, without a doubt, our friend group here at church is closer than any other. We usually see each other at least once a week, not enough to get on each other's nerves, be it Sunday mornings, small groups, or Nashville Food Project. In addition to this, many of us get together once or twice a month and go and share a meal and talk about whatever is on our minds. This isn't a planned or organized event. It's something we choose to do on our own. I feel this speaks volumes to the strength of our friendship, a strength we probably don't even fully understand or fathom today. A few of my friends at school dislike going to their church simply because they don't get along with the members of their youth group. This helps me to appreciate this group I'm a part of more than ever. They all feel like family to me and are easily my closest neighbors in Christ. If you had asked me 5 years ago who my neighbors were, I would have told you they were the Viers, who live on one side of me, the Rogers, who live on the other, and any other family that lives close to me. The neighbors I have today, however, have no geographical limits. My neighbors are not only my friends and family, but the people I served with on mission trips, everyone sitting in this church today, any person I have come in contact with, affected, or been affected by through my journey as a Christian. I'm very grateful to those of you who have touched my life in many ways. Some of you I don't even realize. I'm very privileged to have had West End as a part of my life. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Sam Burris, and I'm a senior at Franklin Road Academy. I have attended West End my whole life and have waited for the opportunity to give the sermon as a senior. So far, my life has been divided into three sections, my elementary, middle, and high school journeys, each having their own challenges and triumphs. This summer, I look forward to attending my last West End mission trip to the Bahamas before I dive into my college journey of playing golf at Lee University. I am so thankful for my West End family, the people, programs, and opportunities that have guided me during the past 18 years of my life. The experiences I have been a part of here have given me the strength and insight into living my life in a way that Jesus' love will shine through me. During my time at West End, I have not only learned that my neighbor is not just the person who lives next door to me, but that God has called me to love all people, no matter who they are, what they look like, or what they've done. It's easy to judge a book by its cover, but usually if we take time out of our day to actually sit down and read the book, we find that the inside is more thought-provoking than ever would have imagined. Spring becomes a busy time of year for everyone, whether it be planning summer vacations, working in the yard, attending countless number of high school graduations, or trying to finish the school year off with a bang. Because it is such a busy time, a lot of our focus tends to be on our own lives, worrying about everything we have to get done in order for us to be content. But what about the person sitting next to you this morning, or maybe in another state, or even in another country? How are we going to know them, love them, and act in a way that shows our neighborly love for them if we are too busy thinking about ourselves? Each one of us could be compared with the legal experts, the thieves, the priest, or the temple assistant, but how many of us can be compared with the Good Samaritan? Luke 10:33 says, "But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him." Like the traveler, we have been wounded and left to die. But Jesus came and took us to a place of healing, just as the Samaritan did for the wounded man. Jesus' love is supposed to shine through us, but how can that happen if we are overwhelmed with the smallest of details? The first Sunday of every month, our youth group here at West End volunteers at Nashville Food Project, where we prepare food, pack up the trucks, and deliver meals to the employed, poor, and homeless populations around Nashville. This may sound like just another service project, but it has definitely impacted my life, and I think I can speak on behalf of the other youth when I say that we not only feed these people, but we connect and build relationships with them. When it's my week to ride in the trucks, I like to make an effort to return to the same location, and for me, that is the Hallmark Inn. By continuing to go to the Hallmark Inn, I get to serve familiar faces every month. I have multiple stories I could share with you all this morning, but there's one that stands out to me the most. My group and I went to the Hallmark Inn on Super Bowl Sunday, and as I was packing a bag for a man, he began to talk to us about the big game and how he was pulling for the Baltimore Ravens because of how much he loves one of their players, Ray Lewis. It was amazing to see how our group of youth connected with this man over a football game. But I didn't realize at the time that my presence that night would have a larger impact than just making a man smile. A month later, I returned to the Hallmark Inn, and to my surprise, the same man showed up for dinner. All of a sudden, I hear him say, "Excuse me, I think I remember you. Have you been here before?" When I realized he was speaking to me, I responded, "Oh yes, I was here the week of Super Bowl Sunday. Your Ravens ended up with the victory." Immediately, he knew who I was. It was a very powerful moment in my life because I realized that when Christ's shining love is shining through me, I can make a huge impact in people's lives. I'm not only filling a brown paper sack with food, but also with love, joy, and compassion. On a daily basis, we meet new neighbors, whether it is a normal day in Nashville, during a service project, or on a mission trip, and we are called to love these neighbors no matter who they are. While we may think we know all of our neighbors, without our love, they may never know us.
Hello. My name is Mark Lowe, and I'm currently a senior at Montgomery Bell Academy. What is a neighbor? This is the first question that came to my mind when I read the parable of the Good Samaritan, because I was asked to give a part of the sermon for Youth Sunday. For those of you that don't know what this word means, it is several definitions that range from a person who lives near another person to a person who shows kindness or helpfulness to his or her fellow human being. The reason why I bring up these two definitions of the word neighbor is because in Luke 10, verse 27, the lawyer responds to Jesus, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself," referencing how he will attain eternal life. In this passage, I believe that the lawyer is using the latter definition of the word neighbor, a person who shows kindness or helpfulness to his or her fellow human being. Jesus, later on in the parable, teaches the lawyer how to be a neighbor to a man who has been attacked and robbed. Unfortunately, or I guess fortunately for me, I have not witnessed a brutal attack on another human, and therefore Jesus' specific example about how to be a good neighbor has not yet applied to my life. However, growing up, my parents always told me to love my neighbors like the Bible says.
On the other hand, they also told me to avoid strangers. Looking back on their advice, I realized that these two pieces contradict each other because on the one hand, I was told to love and to not judge any other human being, and on the other hand, I was told to judge and be cautious of other humans I did not know. Both these pieces of advice have definitely influenced my life to this day. But now that I'm technically adult, although the thought of actually being a legal adult still scares me quite a bit, I believe that my parents' first piece of advice, to love my neighbors, is the correct piece of advice to follow. Now, there are two reasons for my conclusion. The first being that everyone I now know was once a stranger to me. This means that if I had followed my parents' advice on avoiding strangers, I would have very few friends. Also, the only thing that is truly strange about a stranger is that you don't know anything about them. However, if you were to step in the stranger's shoes, you would realize that you are just as much of a stranger to him or to her as he is to you. Lastly, being a stranger to someone is a condition that can be easily rectified. All that is required is to have a simple conversation that includes your name and maybe some simple facts about your life. And just like that, you are no longer strangers. The second reason I believe that loving your neighbor takes precedence over avoiding strangers is because simple interactions with other humans can normally have a greater impact on you than spending time with your close friends and family. Not to sing my own praises, because if you know me at all, you know that I am fairly far from being a perfect person, but every Monday night at Paragon Mills Elementary School, I tutor adults who are normally Hispanic in origin in how to speak, read, and write English. This act of service is my prime example for the second reason of following my parents' advice, and this is why I bring up this activity. So don't go around saying that Mark Lowe was really tooting his own horn up there on the pulpit today, because I promise that is not the reason. These adults are people who, under normal circumstances, I would never meet or even notice. And I'm sure the same indifference applies for the way they view me. However, what I've learned as a teacher, which by the way is not easy, so for all my teachers who have ever taught or attempted to teach me, I'm sorry for giving you grief because your job is very difficult. As a teacher, building relationships is the most important thing because the students that I've taught are normally very afraid to allow themselves to fail. And therefore, they are extremely reserved with people that are strange to them. However, once my students became accustomed to me, they really did love to learn, and some of them enjoyed talking nonstop just to show what they had learned. The only way this could have been accomplished, though, is by breaking down the barrier of avoiding strangers, because as long as there was this barrier between me and my students, progress was severely limited. In the same manner, my adult students have taught me that no matter how bad life gets, there is no reason to give up and throw in the proverbial towel. My students are people who all immigrated from different countries, and when they arrived in the United States, they knew literally no English. However, these same people have opened my eyes to the idea that having less sometimes means you have more, because I've never seen such enthusiasm for attending school that my students show, and if I showed even a quarter of their enthusiasm for my own high school, it would definitely be a much more enjoyable experience. An example of the way that these once complete strangers have made an impact on my life is how they responded to a question I gave them on the first day. What would you do with $1 million? One of my students named Noe, a 50-ish-year-old man with a family back in Mexico, answered he would create jobs for other humans struggling in his community and in other communities like his. This answer really made me do a double take, because here's this man who has a family in Mexico that wants to come to the United States, but they cannot because Noe does not have the financial means. However, once I gave Noe the financial means, he responded with his answer of basically being a good neighbor to those around him and putting the needs of others before his own needs. This is just one of the many examples of the impact that my students have had on me because I stopped being a stranger to them and became a neighbor to them. Every time I've gone to Paragon Mills tutoring, I went with the intention of improving my students' lives. But at the end of each class, I know that it was actually my life that was improved because I interacted with these amazing people who would have been complete strangers to me had I not followed the Bible's advice of loving your neighbor. So sorry, Mom and Dad. You got a lot of things right, as can be witnessed by the fact that I have made it this far in my life. But telling me to avoid strangers is something that I disagree with, because becoming neighbors with strangers is without a doubt the greatest cause of growth and maturation in my life thus far. Lastly, because I'm the last person to give a sermon this morning, I've been asked to close in prayer. So if everyone would please bow their heads. Dear God, we thank you for bringing us here to worship in your house this morning, and we ask you to help us glorify your name by following your son's teachings to love your neighbor as yourself. Please help us to make an effort to reach out to strangers, although it may be outside of our comfort zone. because by going outside of our own bubble, we are able to grow closer to you, God. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen.